You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Know that I can always use another Death Knight.
And Daryl.
Hail to the King, baby.
Greetings and episode... Welcome? What, how do we do this? This is my first time doing this.
One job.
Welcome to episode 146 of The Training Dummies. I'm Rob, and I am not leveling fishing.
If you That's too bad. That is too bad.
Yeah, right? I am not, if you can believe that. And with me tonight is somebody who did drink the Kool-Aid. Daryl, how's it going, man?
It's going great. I don't know why. It just is. Just felt like the right thing to say. I have been leveling my fishing, and I've been leveling it. The artifact, probably more so than I should have, but that's partly in due to 6 hours of football yesterday with a laptop on my lap, just fishing for that whole 6 hours. So it was all good. It was a very productive Sunday.
Yeah, some would say if you're leveling it at all, you're leveling it more than you should. So, so what we're going to do tonight is something brand new. We've never done this before. We're going to talk about Blood DKs.
Hey, that is new. All right.
Hey. What we're going to do also is, if you remember a while back, we had a tanking episode that was a pre-Legion tanking episode. And it wasn't one of our most feel-good episodes, but it did serve a purpose. And what we wanted to do was talk about the state of tanking at that time and kind of our hopes for Legion and where some of the tanking would go design-wise, and one of the concerns at that time a lot was Blood DKs. And if you guys remember, Magdalena is not playing WoW at the moment, so he's not going to be our guest tonight. But we are going to talk Blood DKs, and we did invite Lerald to come back. So if we get a warm Training Dummies welcome for Lerald.
Oh, dude. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for...
I've been waiting politely, but thank you for introducing me. You know, I will say this, playing my Blood DK, I'm very offended by all these elves on the Broken Isles that keep screaming into my ears, I've sacrificed everything, what have you given?
Right?
I'm not alive anymore.
Yeah, do you really want to go there? Really? Is that what we're going to do? We're going to fight? Yeah, I'm playing a Demon Hunter at the moment, so when they start yelling at me, I'm just like, bro, like, seriously. I've also sacrificed everything.
I've sacrificed every bit as much as you have. Like, you know, maybe recognize somebody who's on your team.
That's awesome. I don't know. Did we do the speed dating round before when you guys were on the show last time?
Oh,
I think we may have done an abridged version, or
I think we might have even jumped directly into we're taking over your podcast. You guys don't talk for 3 hours. Let us do it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And my favorite part was when my son had a blowout diaper at like 1:30 in the morning and I wasn't even able to finish the recording with you guys. So that was
I remember that. Like a
very weird favorite part to choose.
Well, you know, dad life. Hashtag dad life. So, why don't we talk a little bit about who you are and what you're doing now? When, what, where, how did you start playing, and what is your current main? Because I think it may be a little bit different than what we're addressing tonight.
That is true. I started playing in vanilla in 2005 when I was in college. I saw one of my roommates playing this game where he was running around in a field that I now know to be Arathi Basin. And he was playing a troll rogue and he was stabbing somebody. And I said, that looks pretty cool. What is that? It's World of Warcraft. And a few weeks later, I'd purchased some RAM for my integrated graphics laptop and was able to play WoW at like 8 FPS out in the Barrens. And it was real fun. But then, you know, years and computer upgrades and so on later. Now here I am and I've come a long way. My current main is actually a Brewmaster Monk. I think I'm one of the 30 or 40 people doing that this current time. And, I mean, the primary reason for that, and it's something we'll kind of get to as we go on here, is mobility. And Brewmasters have an insane amount of it, and it is insane how little of it Blood DKs have.
Yeah, that's the biggest gripe right now, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
What is the origin of the name Lerald?
In a guild with a bunch of friends, we had we just made the guild, and we're all, you know, kind of shouting over each other what the tabard needs to be. And I insisted that it be a lobster. And somebody asked, but why? And I couldn't come up with anything. And then I just said, because his name's Lerald. And yes. that made everyone laugh. And then when I was trying to come up with a name for my monk, about a year down the road, someone was like, well, why not Lerald?
That's kind of awesome.
Why not Lerald?
Why not Lerald?
And then, yeah, you know, it just kind of went from there.
That's awesome.
Now it's my namesake. Yeah.
That one sounded like a pretty good one, but I don't know if it's your most fond memory. What's your most fond memory because of gaming?
You know, I met my current girlfriend playing Diablo and climbing the ladders in, I want to say, season 4 or 5. I remember the season, but I remember when we met. So that would probably be my most favorite fond memory, just as gaming as a whole. But I think doing the end of Cataclysm content with the guild that gave me the name Lerald is probably my most fond memory in WoW. This is the first time that I ever really had real raid success with, like, a group of friends first, rather than a group I'd gone to join and do a lot of prog with.
All right, on. What is your favorite Blizzard title?
Historically, I would have said Diablo, but I feel, you know, the hours really are the real answer, and I probably put in 10 times, 20 times more hours into WoW than Diablo.
You know, yeah.
500 days played or whatever, so I don't really think there's any contest. I think WoW is hands down my favorite video game of all time.
I can go with that.
Yeah, that's a good one. What is your favorite raid boss of all time?
That is a great question. I think Yogg-Saron is probably my favorite raid boss of all time, just because it was the first truly like cinematic and thematic raid that I encountered that had quite that tone. And it was, I don't know, it was just really good to me at the time. I think I liked Twin Emperors just because it was the first one that I did on a monk that really made me go, oh, tank mobility's a thing, and I get to do damage as a tank now. This is fun. And it kind of heralded what tanking has been since MOP and kind of how I look at the game now. So,
yeah,
coin toss between those two.
What is your favorite thing about Legion so far?
This is the hardest question in the entire world.
Yeah.
I've been racking my brain to come up with an actual answer for this question since I saw it on the show notes. I think it's a little bit of a cop-out answer, but I think my favorite thing is just sheerly the amount of content that you can do that is relevant and provides progression, whether it's pushing through like a, you know, over plus 10s that are hard and frustrating and a real challenge, or going out and doing world quests that you can, you know, breeze through and still feeling like I'm getting something out of it, no matter what it is that I'm doing. So I think it's just really just the number of progression paths that they put into the game.
That works. Rob, do you have any other bonus questions for this?
Yeah, man. If you weren't playing a brewmaster right now, what would you be playing?
I probably would. If I could have seen the future, I'd be playing a bear tank just because I see how much damage they're doing.
Right.
But if I'd had to make that decision at the end of August, I think I would have flipped a coin between Blood Decay and Warrior, largely because I knew that Warrior was also going to be good. I didn't realize it was going to be so good that it would have to be nerfed like 3 different times.
Right.
But
I have a Warrior that is like pretty much raid ready, but I've not actually done it, so I'm always just kind of, by the time I get to it, I have a feeling it's going to be too late.
Well, with the ability to buy what is it called, artifact knowledge up to level 15 and 7.1.5, it shouldn't be too hard to get it caught up, because I think my brewmaster's only at, like, knowledge 16 now, so that's a
pretty good jump. He's got all 3 relic slots, and he's, I don't know, level rank 15.
Oh, you're not bad then.
So yeah, it's not in a bad place. It's certainly, I don't know, like, I guess I could use him if I wanted. I've heard some interesting things about Warrior coming up on the PTR, but we'll see. Maybe someday.
They're certainly interesting. I think my problem with them is that they are a little unknown, and prior to 7.1.5, just where they are right now, their rotation is so, so boring. It's basically two buttons. Yeah. Whereas DK, although they have the serious mobility issues, which is why it would be a coin toss, they're actually very fun once they're in melee range with something.
All right. I don't think I have any other questions before we get into the Death Knight. So, Rob, you got anything else?
What would you be playing if it was not a a brewmaster right now?
Oh, I would have to flip a coin between Blood DK and Prot Warrior. I thought you were going to say tank. And I have to say, that's a question I ask myself every day. If I weren't playing a tank, what would I play?
Yeah,
I ask myself that every day. I don't know. I've answered that question like 100 different ways. And there's not even that many specs. So I guess other games.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that's probably that's a pretty honest answer.
All right. Did you just ask the same question twice, or am I losing it?
No, I mean, so the first time was tanking, but like,
oh, okay, then it was, okay, I'm like, what, I swear to God, he just asked the same question.
No. The first one was tanking, but then the second one was like in general.
General. Okay.
Hard. It's like I could just play like a Shadow Priest or a Fire Mage and just be like, I will be the king of all damage. But then it's the thought process of, well, I could play like some sort of a shaman and bring a whole bunch of utility. I couldn't get past the character screen on answering that question, much less leveling it.
Right. A troll rogue. We'll just say a troll rogue.
All right, I'm for it.
Since that's what your buddy was playing that made you want to play the game. So.
Yeah.
All right. Are we good now? Do you have any more?
No, dude, I'm good.
No,
I'm good.
All right. You don't want to ask the question a third time?
That one was confusing enough, so.
Right. No, ask me again. I bet I can give an answer this time.
Even now. Yeah. Now for the third time.
All right.
This is Dominia from Mythic on Main's Raid Team, and you're listening to The Training Dummies with Rob and Daryl.
All right. If you have any questions or comments or just want to find out what we're doing, we're active on Twitter. That is at Training Dummies. Rob is at Rob Copeland, and myself, Daryl, is at Hend_TTD. All right, so Blood DKs. It feels like we've never done this class before, or it's been a very,
I'm not
very.
Gonna lie. This is probably the class guide that we've done the most out of.
Okay,
but I do feel like that it's probably, you know, especially with the way that tanking has changed. This is one of the ones that got completely redesigned for Legion. Would you say, Lerald?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you look at some of the other classes like Prot Warrior, Brewmaster, Monk, where, you know, the key skills are still there and some other stuff got its name changed or, you know, things changed a little here and there. But Blood DK, it's not even like they went through and changed all the light fixtures. It's like they burned the house to the ground, burned the ground to the ground, and then built a new house on top of new ground. Yeah, and painted a different color and
burned the house down, nice, down to the ground and the neighbor's houses. And
yeah, pretty much just hit the whole area with a nuke and then, you know, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is this another self-serving episode? Because my other tank is a Blood DK. I have one burning question, but I think I'm going to save it for a little bit here. Do you want to start maybe with like stats, and we can just go down from there?
Oh, absolutely. So the key stat for the key stat for Blood DK, just like about half of the tanks, is haste. And you pretty much want to gear so that you have haste on every single piece. That's like the ideal. It's kind of the standard gearing procedures that you have for most tanks and most classes, where if it's got strength and stamina on it, you know, head, shoulders, pants, whatever. Yes, exactly. Right. Then in those situations, if it's a 15 item level upgrade and it's terribly itemized, you probably still want to wear it. The strength, stamina, armor are all worth it. But if it's jewelry, it might need to be a 25 item level upgrade to wear if it's really poorly itemized. So the breakdown is pretty much for defense, it's something along the lines of haste, versatility, mastery, and crit are about equal for defense, arguably, with strength and stamina both a little bit below that on a point-to-point basis. You generally don't want to wear stamina trinkets on any of the tank classes, and Blood DK is not really an exception there.
That's so weird. I know, like, it's gone back and forth so much that, like, Stam for a while was, like, the jam. It meant that you could get hit more.
Exactly.
So that's not the case now, huh?
I think a large part of it comes from the fact that all of the stamina trinkets that are in the game currently are terrible, terrible stamina trinkets all around the place. You know, like, the only ones that really come to mind are the one out of Assault on the Violet Hold, which you obviously can't get any sort of Mythic Plus upgrade on from running the place anyway. And that gives a versatility on use, I believe. And then there's one from Eye of Azshara that gives a mastery proc, and mastery's pretty terrible for blood, so neither of those are good.
God, it's like I don't even know blood DK anymore.
Yeah.
But literally, I remember mastery was the jam.
And it was, and a large part of the reason that it's not is because although Deathstrike healing is good and a large part of your healing kit, the tuning on the mastery, the actual blood shield that you get from the mastery, is just really, really low, to the point that in a lot of mythic fights, like if you're able to quickly double death strike in between auto attacks and get, you know, two blood shields up, probably going to get completely consumed on the next auto attack. Most of the time it's just going to get knocked off with one hit. Yeah, which is why crit, even though it's really terrible defensively, can kind of compete with mastery just on a defensive level, because if you parry, then hey, you get to keep that blood shield up a little more, you don't lose a stack of your bone shield, you might get to stack a little more blood shield, and maybe that one would actually absorb a full hit. So hopefully they tune mastery up some for blood DK, otherwise it's going to be kind of a disappointing stat. For offensive gearing, strength is the king, but you still generally want to go with haste. It just means that, you know, trinkets that have like strength and haste, stat sticks, that kind of thing, are actually pretty solid. Or even like Goblet of Nightmarish Ichor off of Ilganoth is a pretty solid trinket as well. It's a little more DPS oriented than something that's like pure haste with a defensive component. But that's okay. Like, offense is good too. So the offensive priority is strength, haste, crit. Mastery is slightly better than verse, and then stamina is almost totally worthless offensively, but DKs are in the weird situation where stamina can be a very slight DPS increase just by increasing the size of your blood shield floor, so that it might be enough to eat a bone shield, you know, a hit that would remove a bone shield charge.
Gotcha. Well, all right. I know a few tank classes have different variations depending on whether you're doing 5-mas or Mythic Plus or whatnot. So is this pretty much just like the two main builds, defensive and offensive, right now?
Pretty much. And what it really boils down to is just wanting to have haste on every piece you can. And there isn't a lot of haste versatility gear available that easily. So you're pretty much left with the choice of either wearing haste mastery gear, which isn't that great, or haste crit gear, which isn't that great either, but it's a little bit better offensively, and generally what you would rather go with if you have to choose between those two. But pretty much you just take, you know, the classic WoW gearing rule. Is it available? Is it higher item level? I'll wear it.
The item level thing is kind of where I've been stuck this entire expansion so far. Like, I, even if it's itemized slightly better, usually the item level feels like it beats out the other piece of gear. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, once you break over the even 10 item level difference on a piece of gear that's terribly itemized, it's really hard to not take that extra strength and stamina.
Mm-hmm. So what about talents then? If you just want to maybe, you don't have to go through every single talent
just go through the
some of them
the
are
build
garbage
if you want.
You could even say, like, you know, that if something's a trap talent, you know, or whatever, you know what you're talking
about. Okay, will do. I'll try to get through it as quick as possible, and that won't be too hard, because blood DKs have a very narrow talent tree. For the first four tiers of the talent tree, you basically have one choice. Like, tier one, you have Bloodworms and Blood Drinker that are both awful. And then you have Heartbreaker, which is amazing. So you take Heartbreaker. In the second tier, you have Rapid Decomposition, which is a huge runic power generation increase. And makes Death and Decay a lot stronger than it already is. And then you have Soul Gorge, which is, under normal circumstances, just a loss to take. And Spectral Deflection, which really narrows the playstyle a lot. It basically makes it where you only cast Marrow Rend. And that can be good if you're tanking incredibly hard content, like you're pushing very, very new progression mythic rating, or some of the first guys to get mythic plus 15s took spectral deflection, but anybody who's doing 15s and 16s now is taking rapid decomposition. Gotcha. In the third tier, Ossuary is absolutely the go-to talent as well. It reduces the cost of Deathstrike if you have five or more bone shield charges, and that's pretty crucial to the entire playstyle of the class. You want to keep your bone shield charges high, and you want to Deathstrike, you know, to avoid wasting runic power. And then the other two talents really don't do that much for you. Blood Tap is always worse than Ossuary at any reasonable gear level, and Anti-Magic Barrier is, I think I've described this before, some of the choices in these talents are like apples, oranges, and helicopters, and Anti-Magic yes. Barrier is a total helicopter. It just, it doesn't make any sense. It's not a choice at all between them. Yeah.
Nice.
What if you really are really into helicopters?
Yeah, right? I guess you're going to have to take that helicopter apart piece by piece and then eat it. Yeah.
There you go. Uh-huh.
The fourth tier, Red Thirst, basically just makes the cooldown of Vampiric Blood. It changes a little bit depending on what you're tanking, but around 50 to 60 seconds instead of a baseline of 90. And the other two talents are straight up losses. They're just terrible choices, like Tombstone eats all of your bone shield charges and gives you back a little bit of runic power and a very small absorb shield. They've doubled the value that you get back on the beta, but that doesn't matter. Like, eating your bone shield charges is moronic. So that talent's not any better on the 7.1.5 PTR than it is now. It basically needs to have no cost to be worth using at all, but that's not the direction they want to go. So it's worthless.
All right.
In the fifth tier, you have your actual first choice. And this is the only one that I think really has three options that are all kind of usable. Tightening Grasp gives you a slow component to Death and Decay and gives you 60 seconds off of Gorfiend's Grasp. So that can be pretty useful anytime you need to AoE grip stuff. So like Mythic Plus or Ogonoth, obviously. Tremble Before Me isn't really that great, but having occasional fear CCs from Death and Decay when you're doing like low level Mythic Plus or you're just starting Heroic Dungeons on a new alt can be helpful. It cuts damage a little bit and randomly will interrupt.
I don't know. Something about that one I really like, but it's like in those big pulls, you feel like you're just getting hit a little bit less. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a modest little damage taken per second decrease. Like it's nice to have for content mm-hmm. where you really don't need to kite anything and don't need to AoE grip anything and don't need to move faster. I definitely think it's the most niche of the three,
mm-hmm.
but it even has a place. Unlike some of the other talents, you know.
I have taken this talent on my Death Knight, but I don't know why. Because I think I've played for about an hour at level 100, so I really don't know why I have this talent, but okay.
you may have, I may have, like, yeah. run through and told
Rob
you
Rob probably
what I
told
took
me to take
something.
It, that's why.
Well, I mean, like I said, I think the ability to just get a random proc CC on something that's casting, you know, mm-hmm. as kind of a free interrupt is pretty nice.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, once you're in a situation where you're, like, trying to do a coordinated Mythic Plus or you know, obviously a coordinated raid, then Tightening Grasp for that Gorfiend's Grasp cooldown reduction is probably going to do a lot more for you. And then just generally March of the Damned, 50% more duration on your pathetic Wraith Walk, but also it's a CC break. Like that's something that's pretty nice, I guess. It helps very slightly alleviate the concerns with lack of mobility.
Very slightly.
Yeah. In the level 90 tier, you have Will of the Necropolis, which used to be great, but it's sort of a How the Mighty Have Fallen kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the time when you're under 35% health, that's really, really the danger zone. And DKs, especially this expansion, work a lot better. I mean, everyone works a lot better when they're above 35% health, but it's just not quite enough damage reduction. Or not large enough of a window. One of the two components of it would need to be buffed for it to really shine. Like, I think if it were 20. Oh, go ahead.
So if you've already driven your car off the cliff, it kind of doesn't matter if you have your seatbelt on or not.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, really
you're kind of hosed at that point. So yeah, like a small percentage damage reduction at that point isn't going to save you.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, if it were a 50% below 50% health, you got 20% damage reduction, I think, you know, then we'd be talking. Mm-hmm, but yeah. The window's just not quite big enough. Rune Tap is the next talent in that tier, and it's not great. It gets very limited use, pretty much against Mythic Cenarius, just because it is another damage reduction cooldown, but it has a rune cost, which is pretty terrible, and it's 3 seconds of 25% damage reduction. So, just empirically, it's not very strong as an actual damage reduction tool.
That window is so small, though. You have to be, like, really, really on your game to pull that off, right?
You pretty much do. And for a 25-second recharge, it's just not quite enough damage reduction. I mean, 25% isn't really that great either. So, with it having a rune cost as well, like, it costs a rune. So, it does cost you other active mitigation to cast this damage reduction tool. Just a lot of issues that are questionable on that one. And then those two talents are up against Foul Bulwark, which is basically 2% max health for each charge of Bone Shield you have up. Ideally, you'll have between 6 and 10 Bone Shield charges at any given time, so 12 to 20% extra health. That is humongous with how big health pools are relative to incoming damage in Legion. So Foul Bulwark destroys the other two traits or talents, you know, 99% of the time.
Yeah.
The level 100 talent here is probably the only other one where there's really some decision making, some moment to moment decision making that you, or I guess fight to fight decision making that you have available. And that pretty much comes down to, do I take Blood Mirror or do I take Bone Storm? Starting on the left side, Bone Storm is pretty good for like increasing your AoE damage. And I actually have seen some DKs who are clearing 15 and 16 Mythic Plus using Bone Storm. It is actually, it is actually a pretty sizable defensive loss to give up to 100 runic power, you know, 2.5 death strikes for this ability that basically just makes you do a ton of AoE damage and very little self-healing. But I guess they're in a situation where they are tanky enough or their group is well-coordinated enough that they're able to pull that off and not die for it. And kudos to them. It's definitely the best AoE damage option of the three traits, considering Purgatory doesn't do any, and Blood Mirror is basically single target and kind of a defensive cooldown as well.
Man, I couldn't even imagine taking that even like on just a normal, a regular old mythic, not like plus 15 or anything. That's crazy.
Yeah, I had initially thought that it was a kind of talent that you take pretty much just when you're doing cheesy stuff. You're doing like heroics, you know, and you're like 890
super farm stuff,
cruising through a heroic, that kind of thing. But I actually do see people. I see some of the best DKs in the world taking that talent to go do Mythic Plus. So I know that it works, and I've looked at their logs and some of their runs, and it definitely works. It makes sense how they're using it. It's just they're really living out there on the edge.
Now, to be clear, if you're still progressing through normal mode raids and you're dying a lot on stuff because you don't have enough healers and because somebody's probably drunk and whatnot, just to be clear, you probably wouldn't recommend that the other tank take that talent, right? Because I don't want to give any other tank the false impression that that's the talent he should take.
Let me lay this down. Let me lay down the law. Bone Storm is a defensive liability. It is very bad for your defenses. Only take it when you have to absolutely maximize your AoE DPS.
So when you're out doing world quests and stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very fun for world quests. Although, if you're on a PvP server, Blood Mirror is pretty fun too. Blood Mirror, being able to redirect 20% of all damage you take over the next 10 seconds into a single target, is pretty amazing for focusing single target DPS when you're pushing through a Mythic Plus or when you're on a boss. It's fun for PvP to have somebody doing, you know, a fifth of the damage they do at you goes directly into them instead. That's fun. So Blood Mirror's awesome. Yeah, Blood Mirror is pretty cool. And I just think it's like, you know, it's very neat thematically. Like, it really does fit with what Blood Decay is supposed to be. It's mm-hmm. like, you hit me? No. Right into you.
Yeah, that's when I was... When I had just started leveling mine, and I was kind of like, I want to see what I think without looking at any guides or anything, I think that's the one that I chose.
Yeah, and I think that's a smart call. And the thing that they got right with Blood Mirror that they didn't get with Runetap or Tombstone or some of the other semi-defensive options in the talent tree is no cost. Just make it be a button that you press and it goes off and it doesn't cost you active mitigation. It doesn't cost you damage or anything. You press it and it goes off. Resources don't matter. So I think that's probably a huge part of why people love it so much. If it cost a couple of runes, I think that'd be a pretty big... deterrent to everyone.
So here's a question then. Now, having looked through the talents, a lot of classes, and I think mainly DPS, maybe some heals, but are there any talents that you would swap out for situational, for particular fights or for AoE situations? Or
there are. So in the first four tiers, I wouldn't swap anything. I'd be Heartbreaker, Rapid Decomposition, Ossuary, and Red Thirst 100% of raid fights. But in the three final tiers, I can see spots where if you absolutely need a little bit more mobility, like say you're a Blood Decay on Odin, where you can't grip anything and slowing doesn't really help, switching to March of the Damned just to get that slight bit more movement to get to a rune or to move Herjan Heimdall or Herjan Odin or whatever apart from each other. That can be helpful.
So everything matters. Pretty situational, though. Like, it's not going to really make or break anything.
Probably not. There are some points where another second and a half of March of the Wraithwalk move speed might actually save your life, but I think those are definitely edge cases. But in the 90 talent tier, like, other than Mythic Cenarius, I would never be taking Runetap, ever. And in the 100 talent tier... There was a time where I would have suggested Purgatory, but I don't really see anyone using it for anything other than high-level Mythic Plus. You know, people who aren't using Bone Storm are using Purgatory a lot. And
well, we make our own Mythics. Even it may say normal up there in the corner, but we make our own Mythic runs. So.
But yeah, I think Blood Mirror is definitely like the 90% use talent in that tier. Foul Bulwark and Tightening Grasp are the 90% use choices. But then the other four are 99.99 repeating to infinity. I can't think of a time where you'd ever want to deviate, pretty much.
Awesome. Maybe if you want to talk a little bit about the... We always say rotation, but I don't think there's really rotations with a lot of classes anymore. It's just an ability priority system, I guess.
Yeah, I agree, but you know, I still say rotation. I call everything rotation.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
Yeah. Years of talking about this game as we just call it rotation.
It's pretty hard to get that out of the vernacular once it's stuck in there for half a decade or whatever. So I think the thing with Blood Decay is that it has a skill priority, you know, just like a lot of other classes. But unlike some of the other classes where, say, Prot Warrior, for example, where it's Shield Slam, and then when Shield Slam's not up, you Devastate to get Shield Slam back up, it's, you know, very direct priority. Blood Decay play is a lot more about managing buffs and resources. So you don't have a strict cast Marrow Rend, cast Heart Strike, cast Blood Boil, cast Heart Strike, cast Marrow Rend. You don't have that sort of a rotation or priority. You just simply have to know, like, I want to keep Death and Decay down all the time. I want to keep six or more stacks of Bone Shield up all the time. I want to keep three runes cooling down all the time. I don't want to waste any runic power. I want to keep Blood Boil on cooldown. And then from there, there's really kind of a lot of fluidity and freedom. So like, unlike that Shield Slam Devastate situation, blood priority could be something more like, in the next 3 seconds, I have to cast a Blood Boil, a Marrow Rend, and a Heart Strike. But I can do them in any order I want.
And it's really just based around, like you said, having those stacks of Bone Shield up and keeping your Death and Decay down.
Pretty much, yeah. The only thing that really is like a priority, I need to use this, is using your consumption, your artifact power skill. You want to use that as long as you have Blood Plague and Bone Shield active Blood Plague on your enemy, Bone Shield on yourself, then you'll want to cast Consumption, unless there's a little window where you can hold it for a few seconds and hit more targets with it, because it heals for 100% of the damage it deals. But
that's good. I was going to ask then. That's not as much of an oh crap button then, huh? Because I always, a lot of times, you know, and I haven't raided on my DK this expansion, but I, you know, dungeons and running around, I try and save it for a moment where I'm like, oh crap, you know, a death strike isn't going to be enough to bail me out, so I'll save my artifact ability for that.
You can do that if you need to, but generally the way that DK kind of handles is, as long as it's not total overheal, it's better to be more proactive. A lot of the way that DK plays is, if I'm casting more, then I'll continue to cast more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a tidal effect in one way or another. If you stop and you get real conservative, then you'll have less resources to spend to generate more resources, and so on. And then the other way as well, if you're really proactive, and this is why you run so much haste. The ideal is to get, I think, around 50% haste before Bone Shield is active. And that's where it really starts to actually experience some diminishing returns.
That's a lot of haste.
It's pretty crazy. I don't think it's physically possible unless you're wearing like crafted pieces that rolled pure stamina haste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is going more back to basics, because I've before this expansion, like I did my Death Knight up to like level 60, I think, and I just couldn't get it. I don't know. There's something that just didn't. I couldn't figure it out, the between the runes and the runic power. Can you just, so how did, I know they changed the resources a bit in Legion for like every class, and I do believe that changed a bit for Death Knights as well. So what is runic power and what are your runes? How do you generate them? Like how does that all work?
Oh, sure. I guess I should have started with this. My bad.
No, that's all right.
It is a good question.
I skip past all that too, kind of jumping into the meat of it. But that's actually really good. Because I think a lot of people are interested in DKs, but have never really scared by the system. So
exactly. I want to level my Death Knight. So I really do. And it is the next one up on my list to actually level. So I want to actually have a clue as to what I'm doing and back to basics. Sure. Like I have no idea.
And you want to level his blood, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, blood is the way to level, for sure. So the thing that DK has going for it is, where other classes like Warrior or Druid, Shield Slam is on a 9-second cooldown, Mangle's on a 6-second cooldown, Keg Smash is an 8-second cooldown, DK doesn't really have cooldowns on the vast majority of its abilities. It just has the rune system, where you have these 6 runes. There used to be types to them, but there aren't anymore. They're just all runes, and most of your abilities will either cost a rune or runic power. The abilities that cost runes generate 10 runic power per rune, for the most part, and they go on a 10-second cooldown, which is reduced by haste. When you can have 3 runes simultaneously cooling down at once, but you can obviously spend all 6 at the same time. Marrow Rend costs 2 runes, so if I were to cast Marrow Rend 3 times in a row, the first 2 runes would go on cooldown, you know, they'd cool down for a second. Then the next 2 runes, one would go on cooldown, the other would just sit and wait. And then when I cast the third Marrow Rend, the last 2 runes would also just sit and wait. Once the first rune had come off of cooldown, then the first one that's in waiting would start coming off of cooldown as well. Okay. And that's pretty much how the rune system works. The first 3 runes will be actively cooling down, and then the other 3 runes will be waiting to start cooling down.
Okay. Now there's things that you can do that will like proc or bring one of them back to full, right?
There used to be. There aren't really anymore. There is a talent that you can take that will reset runes, but it's in a tier that's where it's basically dwarfed by another talent.
Okay. Then forget what I just said.
Yeah. Well, that's how it had worked for years, and that. Annoyingly, I mean, it's a good thing, but it's confusing. That is exactly how the 4-piece of tier 19 works for Death Knight.
Oh, gosh.
It'll give you a 25% chance when you Death Strike to instantly reset a rune.
That's amazing.
They, you know, make it confusing.
The thing that it used to do, got taken away, but now if you have your bonus, it'll still do that again, but you don't want the talent into it because the other talent is better and you don't want to do that.
Like I said, they didn't just go in and change the fixtures. Yeah, they nuked the neighborhood and then burned all the grounds to the ground. And then...
Nice.
So as confusing as it is, the simplest explanation basically is that when you start combat, you want to run in and cast Death and Decay and cast a couple of Marrow Wrens and then Blood Boil. And then after that, there's actually some management. Basically, you have Death Strike to spend your runic power. That's pretty much all you have to spend your runic power baseline. And when you get above 80 runic power, you'll generally want to try and Death Strike that back down. And again, keep using Marrow Rend or Heart Strike to consume your runes, depending on how many Bone Shield charges you have. Marrow Rend gives you 3 to 4 charges of Bone Shield each time you cast it, and Heart Strike just gives you a lot more runic power per rune than Marrow Rend, because Marrow Rend costs 2 runes and Heart Strike only costs 1. But again, talents, confusing design. Mm-hmm. Heart Strike does a lot more damage for the resource cost and generates a lot more resources for the resource cost.
Okay. I remember when Daryl was first talking about his DK again, he was asking me a few questions, and I typed out this wonderful, elaborate answer a real quick how to be successful with your blood DK for leveling. And I hit enter, and I was all proud of my response, and I went back and reread it, and I was like, yeah. And then a minute later, I was like, really? Nothing? And then I went to the guild tab and looked, and he had logged off briefly before I had shared this beautifully crafted response with him. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I think the thing with DKs is when you kind of are coming to them for the very first time, they're this very daunting, complex thing with all these different buttons, and they truly are that.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, they are still pretty popular, despite having some fairly glaring flaws at this point in WoW. They're still very popular, I think, because they have a really interesting and cool fantasy that has actually been held up very well. Mm-hmm. I know class fantasy is like the meme of the expansion,
right?
Yes.
But I really think DKs, more now than ever before, totally embody their class fantasy. Shields of blown in bud, bone and blood surrounding you.
I love it.
You. Yeah. They're really pretty cool. They do take a little bit to get a handle on.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're one of those classes that has a real intuitive feel once you get into it and have started breaking down how the mechanics work a little bit and gotten a little more familiar with it.
Okay.
It starts to feel natural, I guess.
I definitely can say the more I play it, the more it feels natural. On the beta, I went and did the blood artifact. The very first time I did that on there, I was just like, oh my god, what is going on? This is the worst thing ever. And then by the time I had done it again later, and by the time it went live, I was like, oh, okay, all right, this makes sense. You want your blood, you want your bone shield up, and then you want to just keep these on cooldown and dump your runic power into Death Strike, and you're good to go.
Yeah. I think a lot of the confusion for it really just comes in the runes and runic power system, rather than having cooldowns on their abilities like, a warrior or a druid or something. But that's kind of where the complexity and the freedom of the class comes from. Because if they didn't have that system, then it would be just like warrior druid, where you have this cooldown that you build your whole rotation around, you know that this is your primary skill that you press, and you press it whenever it's available. Whereas blood has this whole fluid rotation where I need to marrow rend within, now and tax day, but it could be April 12th or March 3rd or whenever.
To be fair, and correct me if you don't agree, I think that the redesign of the runic system is a lot easier to wrap your brain around than it was in previous expansions.
Strongly agreed.
All right.
Very strongly agreed.
Yeah, because you had several different kinds of runes, and then they behave differently, and you can only use some on certain abilities, and then you could reset it, and then you would get this bonus rune that you could use on anything, and it was just a big, it was a very, yeah. It was like Simon Says. So it was just
very much. And I think there was a lot of negative feedback on the change to the rune system. And I think it kind of goes to exactly what I was saying with this being a very complex, kind of difficult to approach class that still has a massive backing. People love DK. People love the fantasy, the idea of playing a Death Knight. And I'm right on board with the rest of them.
Well, you kind of get to be the Lich King. And that was like you know, the pinnacle of WoW for a lot of people.
Agreed. I think because of the fact that I dabble in every tank class and am not currently maining a Blood DK anymore, I think that made me a little bit more receptive to the resource system change, which I have to agree, I think it was a great choice on their part because it simplified something that was super complex and didn't really need to be. There wasn't really anything gained by, in my opinion, by having that incredibly nebulous system of runes and runic empowerment and runic corruption and blood tap and all of that stuff that, I mean, I miss it at times. Certainly playing around with blood tap, I miss. But, you know, I think the simplification that we have now and just simply stacking the crap out of haste now kind of plays better. It's certainly a lot easier to approach and understand within 20 minutes of getting on the character and chopping some ghouls up.
So, Daryl, did that help?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There'll be a quiz later.
Oh, I wouldn't. No, you don't want to do that.
So, Laurel, you kind of went over the single target rotation. Are there any differences in the AoE rotation? Because that sounded pretty much like all of the abilities that a DK has.
That is, I think, probably my favorite aspect of DK. Their single target and multi-target rotations really aren't particularly different at all. The thing that changes about them is how quickly your bone shield gets chewed up. Because by default, your bone shield has a 2-second internal cooldown. When you take damage that isn't fully absorbed, your bone shield will lose a charge. But it can only lose a charge every 2 seconds. So if you're tanking one mob with a 1.5-second speed swing timer, he hits you, you lose a charge. You parry, you don't lose a charge. He hits you, you lose a charge, blah, blah, blah. You may be losing a charge every 3 or more seconds, especially on a fight where you're taunt swapping back and forth and you don't have any sort of dots on you. I struggle to think of one in the current rating situation, maybe parts of Odin. But when you're tanking AoE, you might be getting hit 6 times a second. So you'll still have that 2-second internal cooldown to protect you, but you're probably going to be losing a bone shield charge every 2 seconds. So your rotation will change based on that. You'll have to marrow rend a lot more to keep your bone shield going, but you don't actually have a different priority. Your goal is still keep marrow rend, keep death and decay down, keep marrow rend above 6 or more stacks, cast consumption, cast your blood boil, and then just try to heart strike as much as you possibly can because it generates a ton of runic power. It does a bunch of damage. If feels better to do damage.
Well, there's a there's an ability in your artifact tree too that where heart strike heals you as well, right?
There is, yeah. And that's not a humongous healing gain. It's, you know, it's still like I think 5%, which, you know, obviously is something that fluctuates massively based on how much you're actually getting to cast it, how many mobs you're hitting with it. But that's not a bad gain for a single point, not at all.
And it's, I don't know, like you, I felt a difference when I picked up that talent, and maybe it was just because I wanted to feel a difference, but it seemed like something. It was cool.
I think it's a solid gain for a single point. I picked it up fairly early as well. I went for Unending Thirst before Blood Feast, but I picked them both, picked both up fairly early on before I picked up a second Gold Dragon.
How about cooldowns? You want to talk about that?
I would love to talk about cooldowns. In 7.1, I mistakenly wrote in the patch notes 7.1.5, but in 7.1, Icebound Fortitude came back to Blood DKs, and that was a humongous change. Very, very needed buff to what was by far the biggest weakness that Blood DKs had, because at that point they had 2 cooldowns baseline and 2 that they could talent. And neither of the 2 that were baseline were actually percentage damage reduction. So they weren't really useful for any kind of you know, a big physical hit comes at you that you can't avoid and you really need to mitigate it, like, let's say a Cenarius spear, you're just kind of screwed. I'm sorry, I said 3 baseline, I meant 4. I somehow forgot to write anti-magic shell on this list, but yes. So Icebound Fortitude is great. It's really not that strong when you compare it to like a shield wall or something. It's 30% damage reduction for 8 seconds, and it's on a 3-minute cooldown, but it breaks you out of stuns, and it's not fair to compare Icebound Fortitude to shield wall. I don't have the other tools that a warrior has as a blood DK, so compared to your other tools, it's the best.
Awesome.
Vampiric Blood is your kind of first line of defense sort of cooldown. It's 90 seconds, and with the very first 3 points in your artifact weapon, it is 45% increase to health bonus and healing intake for 10 seconds, which is humongous. It makes DKs these gigantic health things. I mean, I think I saw a DK in a world PvP area yesterday with like 7 million health. Because he had this going, and I think he had a couple of, I think he also had a couple of points, you know, traits on relics in this as well. But still, that's a huge guy. But with Red Thirst and casting Heart Strike as often as you're able, as you're allowed by the environment, the cooldown on it is maybe 50 or 60 seconds. And there is a legendary belt that causes Heart Strike to reduce that cooldown even further. In that situation, it can be as low as like a 30 second cooldown. On, you know, 45% or more health pool and healing increase. You know, when you're comparing that to, say, let's do something unfair and compare it to Last Stand, oh yeah, it blows Last Stand out of the water by a humongous margin.
Well, I guess you're looking at different tanks having different strong suits.
Absolutely.
And it may be better than Last Stand, but then you look at mobility and, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, I think that, again, that does tie into what they're looking for with Blood DK and, you know, fantasy and all of that. They historically wanted them to be giant health pools, lots of self-healing, very easy to just throw tons of healing at this class. And they kind of were what Brewmasters are now with the way that their stagger works. And they have these obscene, gigantic, effective health pools of like 25 million health. You know, that's what Blood DK used to be, and, you know, now Brewmaster has kind of gone over and above, but DK still has tons of self-healing, upfront active mitigation, low mobility, all the stuff you would expect. Dancing Rune Weapon was, I guess, kind of the signature defensive cooldown, and it's not really much of a cooldown at all defensively. It's 8 seconds base and 14 seconds with Dance of Darkness, which isn't a super high priority trait in the artifact, but you'll get it eventually. Mm-hmm. And it gives you 40% parry, and then with Mouth of Hell, it gives you 2 Maws of the Damned, so they'll apply copies of your diseases, they'll cast your spells with you, they'll cast Consumption if you cast your artifact ability. They'll also cast it, and you can actually see heals if you have external healing turned on. You can actually see your weapons healing themselves with consumption. Doesn't really help or anything. It's just, I guess, funny to look at.
Yeah.
But the main thing is that Dancing Rune Weapon is pretty helpful in Mythic Plus or any situation where you're taking a lot of auto attack damage. But otherwise, it's pretty primarily an offensive cooldown, except for one synergy that I can come back to later.
All right.
Anti-Magic Shell is the 4th of the baseline defensive cooldowns that Blood DKs have, and it's still pretty much as great as it always has been. It prevents application of harmful magic debuffs, which is pretty amazing, and it's just a really, really big magic damage absorb. There's not really that much to it other than that. You pretty much just use it to avoid taking damage from spell sources, and there you go. It's it got buffed up to a minute cooldown in this expansion, which is unfortunate. In the runic power generation, it generates runic power when you take damage, but that has been nerfed every expansion, and you know, it's almost irrelevant now how little runic power you get, but you get some. But the main thing is just simply that it is like a big magic damage reduction shell. And it prevents harmful magic effects from being applied.
I was going to ask if I don't recall, because it works this way on at least one other class, does interrupting a successful interrupt, does that give you any runic power?
No, it doesn't, unfortunately.
Okay. That is pretty awesome on the Demon Hunter, so I wasn't really sure. Because I know that with Demon Hunters and DKs, and I can't remember who else, their interrupt is like a 20-yard range, I think. 10, 15, 20-yard, but it is a ranged interrupt.
For Death Knights, it's melee. Death Knights pretty much have a melee interrupt with Mind Free.
I thought it was...
double-checking.
I thought it was a little bit longer than that.
Pretty sure it's 15 yards. There we go. 15 yards. So it's a little bit outside of melee range.
So if you need to inch over and snag some sort of, like if your death grip's on cooldown or you're having an issue, you can kind of inch over and snag a caster if you need to.
Yeah. And then, you know, for the other two cooldowns that you have Rune Tap and Blood Mirror that I kind of already talked about before in the talent section. I guess I should also mention, you do still have Gorfine's Grasp, which is currently a 3-minute cooldown, but you can talent it down to 2. And it's totally unique. It's a singular power that makes blood DKs almost necessary in some situations, like Ilganoth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then just regular Death Grip on a 15-second cooldown is awesome. It's, you know, I love Death Grip. Everybody kind of loves Death Grip. It has some problems at times, but it's, you know, it's about as good as advertised.
If you aren't really sure, roll a brand new DK and then go in and run one of those dungeons, and every DK you see will be death gripping every single thing on cooldown.
You are correct.
All right. Was there any other? Was that the cooldowns? Do we miss anything else?
That was the cooldowns. I don't think we missed anything. Death Knights have a single target stun. It's got a range on it. I believe it's 30 yards. That's about it.
Pretty situational, I guess.
Yeah, it's useful in like a Mythic Plus or PvP.
We do have a little section here on advanced tips and tricks. And I have one more question, but I think I'll wait until after you're done with this.
Alrighty. So yeah, just dipping back into the artifact weapon a little bit. One of the gold dragons is Umbilicus Eternus, which is, I guess, fun to say. And basically the way it works is when you cast Vampiric Blood, you'll gain a buff that when your Vampiric Blood expires, you get a shield equal to 500% of the damage your little blood plague did while Vampiric Blood was active. Again, nothing about DK can just be simple. Like, you just cast Vampiric Blood and then you get a big shield. Like, it has to go through several layers of overcomplication. But how this helps out is because your Dancing Rune Weapon, each of your rune weapons that's active will also cast a Vampiric Blood whenever you cast Blood Boil. You pop Dancing Rune Weapon, you cast Vampiric Blood, then you Blood Boil. Now you have 3 Blood Boils on everything that you're currently taking. And when your Vampiric Blood expires, you're going to get shields from the damage that all of those Blood Plagues did. That's so you're going to wind up with you're going to wind up with a gigantic shield at the end. So that's a pretty nice little, I guess, advanced tactic that you can use when you have both of those abilities up and you're about to tank something that you know is going to hit really, really hard. Hard enough to justify using 2 cooldowns together. One of the things that I see most common, just in players who are still kind of getting familiar and learning the class, is that they tend to underuse Blood Boil.
Mm-hmm.
In large part because it is their one ability that the class has that's on a cooldown, doesn't generate any resources, doesn't cost any resources, and so people kind of look at it and go, I don't even know how to use that, or I'll use it when every single other thing is on cooldown, and then because they're stacking haste, you know, they see other stuff coming up, and they're like, oh, I'll just wait until Marowyn's available. I don't want to. So maximizing your Blood Boil usage is pretty helpful for DPS. And it's definitely something that I see people have a little struggle with, is weaving them in effectively rather than just waiting until there's nothing available to cast.
Well, your Blood Boil is what initially applies your diseases, right?
Yes, it is. It's generally how you want to start combat is with a Death and Decay and then a Blood Boil and then some Marrowrend.
So, like, so first things first, then that should be your, like, a big clue. Like, if this is the thing that puts the diseases on for you, then you want to prioritize that.
Yeah. And the main thing is just once you are in combat and you have your diseases on, you don't want to be letting it sit at two charges because it is a multi-charge skill. You don't want to be letting it sit at two charges and just not recharging at all for more than a second or two, you know, while you're handling something that's a little more important and active mitigation-y.
Super good for AoE threat too, right?
Oh yeah. Blood DKs have tremendous AoE threat. They're really good for, like, for Skittish, you know, this week if you're in the US. I guess this will be coming out next week when Skittish may not be around. I hope it's still around. I like Skittish.
Skittish is one of the Mythic Plus
yes, it is.
Augmentations, right?
Yeah, your tank threat is reduced from 10 times your damage to 2 times your damage.
Oh, good lord.
And there is also decay of threat. I don't remember or even know the exact numbers, but basically you generate threat like normal, but unlike normal, it just kind of disappears over time. So it can be fun.
So you said you liked Skittish? Because that sounds terrible.
Well, I like it because Brewmasters also have really great AoE threats, so it's kind of a non-affix. Not all the time, but there are a lot of pulls where, you know, if I mark a skull and everybody's focusing skull, then I'm not going to have any problems with anybody cleaving off of me too badly. But, you know, for a lot of other classes, like, people have complained a lot about it as warriors. You know, it's pretty hard for them to keep threat on multiple targets. It's like, yeah, take that, warriors.
Suck it, warrior.
Now you know how it feels.
So blood boil, like, you want to have that. You kind of want to. Would you say to try and keep at least one charge on cooldown, or is it more of a, like, kind of feel it out? Or,
oh, I mean, absolutely, try and keep one charge on cooldown. Yeah, I would definitely say that, one or you know, even both. Obviously, it's not your highest priority skill since it's not really keeping any of your other active mitigation tools really running, but you generally want to try and keep it on cooldown. The only time you'd ever really want to pool is if you know, I'm tanking single target right now, but in a few seconds there's a burst phase of a whole bunch of adds will spawn, then I might sit and wait on it. But that's about it. Other than that, you pretty much always want to be trying to weave them in because it's wasted damage to not.
It's AoE threat, but it's ridiculous damage too. If you get one of those situations where there's, you know, 4, 5, 6 plus mobs, it's like your numbers just shoot through the roof.
Oh yes, I mean, awesome. Blood DKs are capable of great AoE damage.
I don't know. Who do you tank alongside for your raids?
I am currently tanking alongside a protection paladin, and single target threat is a fun time.
Yeah,
I just let him have it on the pull. I just let him have
fine,
it.
Fine, go ahead, fine. I didn't want it anyways.
Exactly.
I was going to say, I know me and our blood DK have gone back and forth a few times. The Demon Hunter feels like I don't really have a problem getting, holding, or taking threat, and I don't know if there's a series of buttons that should be pushed in a different order to help with that, or...
For single target threat on the DK, the primary thing is just trying to, I mean, maximize your blood boils. It is helpful for AoE threat, but it is also helpful for single target. But just trying to get your heart strikes out. Heart strike is so good at generating runic power, which in turn helps to be able to hit death strike. Mm-hmm. And death strike is huge damage in single target. So being able to get more death strikes out is more single target threat, more, you know, and damage, and yeah.
Before I get on to my big question here, was there any more advanced tricks? I see an AMS thing here.
Sure. Just simply the idea that if there is a magic debuff that's going to be applied on you and you don't want it to have it applied on you, recast AMS. That's, you know, one of the most basic tips of playing a blood DK, but it is a pretty huge class strength. I'm glad that it has continued on in the Legion, and yeah, it's pretty fun. I also think Blood Mirror is something that you can definitely, for lack of a better word, cheese to increase your damage. Just simply with the way it works, taking damage is a direct DPS increase. So if you have the opportunity to use damage intake to increase your DPS without putting yourself in danger. That is pretty fun. That's why people love tanking so much in MOB. And, you know, you don't want to be a scumbag with it, but...
Yeah, I remember a lot of the intentionally standing in fire techniques that people came up with to to help their tank numbers.
Well, yeah. And that, you know, the trade-off isn't nearly as strong with Blood Mirror as it was back in MOB, you know, where you stand in this thing and then you're doing 500% more damage. You know, with Blood Mirror, it's throttled down to only transfer a fifth of the damage you take, but hey, everything counts.
That's right.
Okay, Rob, I know you're dying to ask this question, so let's have it.
All right. How do I even want to frame this? How do I want to get into this? So every class right now, the tooltips have shied away from specifically saying active mitigation, right?
Ah, sure.
So what we're looking at now is like you mentioned a few minutes ago, the Cenarius thing where he throws the spear, and the impact that that has on your raid as a tank really depends on you and your active mitigation. So for blood DKs, is there active mitigation?
Yes, there is.
I'm waiting for the round of applause here for that one, because I may. I know that this person is a troll, but he really genuinely believes there is no active mitigation. So I'm trying to figure out how to best get through this.
Well, I can help him out. If you get on a blood DK and you cast Deathstrike or you cast Marrowrend, you'll get another little buff in addition to the buff that you get from either casting Marrowrend or Deathstrike. You'll get a second buff, which if you mouse over it, says recently Deathstriked, or maybe recently cast Deathstrike. That is the actual four mechanics, like from Hellfire Citadel, where you had to have an active mitigation effect currently active. And not take some extra debuff. That is that, you know, big air quotes around it, active mitigation that protects you there, in large part because it used to just simply be the blood shield was your active mitigation buff, but because blood shield gets chewed off in like 1/16th of a second after applying it, there needed to be more of a window.
Gotcha.
And so they put in the recently Deathstrike. Again, whether you cast Marrowrend or Deathstrike, it still says recently cast Deathstrike. And that is your, yeah, air quotes, active mitigation window.
So there is, in fact, you press a button, you actively push this, and by you pushing a button, you do get a buff on you that counts as your, air quotes, active mitigation.
You better believe it.
I would say
Death Knights feel like the most active mitigation-y of all six tanks anymore.
Well, I know, you know, bears have the I don't even know what they're called.
Iron Fur or the other one, something of Ursoc.
The blue one and the other one.
The purple one and the blue one.
Yes. And warriors have the shield block and ignore pain every tank seems to have something, and some of them are a little more pushy than others, but I was like, please, man, I swear to you, yes, DKs have active mitigation, please use it at this point.
Oh, they sure do. I mean, they have two. They have bone shield, which bizarrely kind of works like old monk shuffle, where it's a buff that you have to maintain all the time. But instead of just being a stupid, boring maintenance buff like Ancient Shuffle, it actually has charges. So it's something that you're monitoring and like, oh, well, I'll cast Marrowrend because I'm at 5 charges. So I need to get up to 8 or 9. You know, you're actually making decisions on it rather than just trying to extend the duration boringly. And then on top of that, you do also have your blood shield, puny as it can be. It is still an active mitigation tool, and you do still have... Unlike in WOD, where your death strikes were based purely off of AP, the death strike window has returned. I should have gotten to this earlier in the
dang, man. I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
I'm sorry I slept over it. The death strike window has returned, which I think is a large part of why I like Blood DK as much as I do again. And it's important in how much you're Death Strike heals for you for, obviously, and how much your Blood Shield absorbs, although even with a really good Death Strike, the Blood Shield is still going to be... just, you know, that's the way that Mastery's kind of tuned these days.
So so what you're saying with the Death Strike window, so this, the if this doesn't change, is this still where the amount, the absorb and the healing done and the shield that you place upon yourself is based on the damage that you took within the last X amount of seconds?
Or- yes, it is. It's the last 5 seconds. When you cast Death Strike, you heal for a minimum of 10% of your health and up to a maximum of, who knows, but 20% of the damage you took over the last 5 seconds is what you heal for.
So would you recommend a weak aura or an add-on or anything for that? What's the best way to track that?
I track it the same way I've tracked it since I started playing Blood Decay and Cataclysm, which is Blood Shield Tracker. It still works. It's a great little add-on. It's just a couple of tiny little red bars, and the one for the Death Strike lights up green when you're outside of that 10% minimum window, and it says what the value is, and I'm quite a fan of that little add-on. It's worked very well since, like I said, since Cata.
Awesome. All right. So that's good, man. I feel like we, for, at least for me personally, have I knew that there was active mitigation. I just wasn't entirely sure what that looked like. So.
Sorry, I buried the lead on like the most important thing. Yeah. I have to
More.
The listeners listen to this podcast in reverse order.
No, it's good. Listen till the end for the good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's what it
Correct.
Is.
Daryl, did you have any other questions?
I don't think so, because I haven't played it enough to have questions. Like, it's a lot of this went right over my head too. So it's going to be a matter of getting on my Death Knight and trying it, and then coming back and re-listening to this, I think, to
understand. I feel like it's not... It sounds like it's a lot harder than it is. And once you get in there and you realize, like, okay, this button puts your bone shield on, this button cleaves, this button puts diseases on, and this is your, you know, your spender, you know, your dump, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, you can boil it down to, like, 4 or 5 buttons in a very simple manner, but then you can really, like, just spend time and really get to know those buttons a lot better.
Yeah, like, I'm not familiar with any of the abilities, so it's not registering as, oh, okay, yeah, I do this, you know, it's because I'm not familiar with the class, but I do plan to pick it up and at least get it to 110 and play around with it a bit, so.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. I'm a big fan of it. I definitely recommend dabbling in it. It's, I feel comfortable saying that I think it's the most unique tanking experience in WoW. I think there's not a single other class that really has an offensive playstyle that functions like it at all. So that's what I find really endearing about it. I think defensively it kind of has some weird parallels to like Monk. But other than that, I think it's pretty unique as well. I guess it is in some ways similar to the way Demon Hunter tanks play as well. A little bit.
Say,
just with how they self-heal.
Soul Cleave, yeah, you have to build up your resource, and then when you spend that, it heals you, kind of thing.
Yeah. So that is similar in that respect, but offensively it's totally unique having this priority where it's a priority, but it's not really like I have to use this skill and this skill and this skill. It's more like I have to maintain all these buffs. It's almost sort of, I want to say like playing a Affliction Warlock or something as a tank. Like it's sort of more like playing a caster where you're, you know, trying to maintain
like
all these buffs and debuffs.
Tank, huh?
Yeah. More so than just like a protection warrior or what have you. Bear.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Laurel, is there any other stuff you wanted to add here?
About Blood Decay? Boy, I'm sure there's plenty. But nothing is coming. Nothing else is coming to mind. I feel like I've spoken a lot.
Nah, it's been super good information. Mm-hmm. You did a really good job with it.
Actually, I do have one last thing I could throw in here. I know it's still early in the patch cycle, but is there anything on 7.1.5 PTR that we should be aware of?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. That is the question of the night. You should give yourself a round of applause. Yes, and I can't believe I missed it. But yes, there is a humongous buff coming to Blood Decays for patch 7.1.5. Currently, when you take damage that's not absorbed, you lose a charge of bone shield. Yeah, you lose a charge of bone shield. And there's a 2-second internal cooldown on that. In patch 7.1.5, instead of it just being any source of damage, so dots or whatever, it will only get broken off if it's a melee hit. So that's a massive buff to something that DKs have been complaining about like crazy since beta and alpha. When you go into a Mythic Plus and you have a dot like necrotic or something where you're constantly ticking mm-hmm. every second and you're losing a charge every 2 seconds, that really, really stifles the whole fun part of the class where you get to hit Heartstrike a whole bunch. You pretty much are just stuck trying to keep Marrow Rend up all the time, or excuse me, Bone Shield up all the time with Marrow Rend. So with that change, it's something that if you don't play the class, you'd see that and you'd go, that almost seems like a, you know, like a typo fix or something, like a wording change. Mm-hmm. It seems pointless. It's one of those that if you play Blood DK and you saw that, you know, or even have like a reasonable mm-hmm. familiarity, you saw that and you're like, oh, hands in the air. Yes. The awesome. Class is going to work now.
That's great.
Nice.
Man, it feels like there's less and less excuses. The more we talk about it, yeah. the more it goes on.
Yeah, I think the only excuse is the lack of mobility, and even then, that largely comes down to in raids, just sort of a situation where if I'm on my monk, then you know the window for me to start moving from point A to point B. If I'm in a situation where I have to get to a certain spot, the window is very large. I can wait until the last 2 seconds and roll over there. On the Blood DK, nope, that's a skill level thing where I know I have to get to point A at this point in a fight, then I need to start leaving 6 seconds before I need to get there.
Well, dude, like that Odin fight, man, at the last phase where it's like you have these really small areas of the room that you have to be in, and it's like sometimes you got those stupid corn pops like everywhere and you can't see, and that one's a hot mess.
You know, but I think it is, especially in that exact example where you're trying to get the spears, you know, Odin away from the DK, like that is something you can coordinate with your other tank. Like if it's a Blood DK that's your off tank instead of a Brewmaster, you know, Brewmaster just sprints away, teleports back, no problem. Uh-huh. Other tank doesn't have to move the boss at all. If it's a Blood DK and he's like just stomping away as slowly as possible with his cement shoes, the other tank has to pull the boss away too. And that's just something that you have to coordinate around the class, and that's just kind of the price you pay for having anti-magic shell, for having death grip, for having mm-hmm. Orphine's grasp, for having all those other cool buttons.
Yeah, so you're not just screwed. You have your own cool toys in your own toy box.
Yeah, certainly there's no fights that are impossible because you're a Blood DK. There are some fights that are made harder by being a Blood DK, but there are also some fights that are way easier because you have Gorfiend's Grasp or Anti-Magic Shell or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like having a Blood DK for Ilganoth was, you know, humongously helpful for people.
Well, cool. Glad you brought that up, Daryl.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. So am I.
Well, if you guys want to send us an email, the address is theshow@thetrainingdummies.com. If you want to add anything to this topic or have questions about future topics, or if you'd like to leave us a voicemail or join our Discord, all that information is over at thetrainingdummies.com.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, what do you got for shoutouts?
To my bro tank, my shiplap, my paleo friend, Salty. His computer took a dump during raid this week. May it be fixed quickly, and may you be on your way to DK greatness, because it sounds like there's some really good things coming down the pipe. To Daryl, who's celebrating his legendary, and hopefully seeing all the deeps. Could you tell a difference this week?
I could on Odin, like the beginning of the fight where there was the two.
Uh-huh.
I was, most attempts, I was far and away top when we were just had the two. But then as it got down to single target, then my DPS started to drop, because where that legendary is is key is, you know, two targets. That's where it's ideal, right?
Yeah, the cleave.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, shout out to your legendary then. And and huge thanks to Lerald for joining us to talk about Death Knights tonight, man. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so happy to come in here and talk about Death Knights with you.
Yeah, it's nice to talk to you in a less dreary kind of scenario, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love DK. I definitely see that they have some problems. It's really looking more like just a singular problem going forward, and I think there are a couple of things they could do to fix the lack of mobility, but I kind of think that's just something they want to be part of the way the class is, so, you know.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Daryl, what do you got?
Let's see here. Well, I want to give a shout out to Justin for swapping over to his tank last week after Salty's computer died. So we were able to get down, what's that? Is it Guarm?
The scattered dog or what?
Yeah, whatever it is. The second one. So he was able to switch over to his paladin tank for us. So that was awesome. Big shout out for that. I'm going to give a shout out to Salty as well because he got his legendary tonight. I don't know if you saw that, Rob, but.
What?
Oh, no. Yes. He got one tonight. Nice. So he got a, I don't know if it's a permanent fix on his computer or he's just got a Band-Aid fix, but he got it running today. And yes, so he has one. So congratulations, Salty, on your legendary. Lerald, yes, I need to give a shout out to you. Thanks for coming on this evening and talking to us. I'm looking forward to getting on my Death Knight. And I do plan to level his blood, so hopefully this'll help me out in that regard. Thank you.
Absolutely. You can't see it, but I'm giving you a thumbs up and nodding and smiling maniacally.
That's awesome.
Lerald, do you have any shout outs this evening?
Absolutely. I have a shout out to my lovely girlfriend, Akusa. That's not a real name, but it's a character name. I like her very much. That's why we're together. And obviously, yeah, I want to shout out to Magdalena and Troxism just for getting the three of us out here the first time for that takeover. I appreciate it putting me on you guys' radar. And I think just one other friend who plays Blood Death Knight, Tyvee. He was the guy who ever motivated me to really think about looking at guides because of his Blood Death Knight guide on the Elitist Church forums. More than 5 years ago, during Mists of Pandaria, I basically ripped off his guide idea and wrote a brewmaster guide on the Elitist Jerks forums and then credit him in it saying, thank you for the motivation. And I'm still thankful for him for the motivation to make a brewmaster guide and MOP, which led to me making brewmaster guides and Blood DK guides and Paladin guides and WOD, and then now writing WoWhead's Blood DK and Warrior guides.
Nice.
So, you know, he was the impetus for all of that, and I'll be forever thankful to him for it.
Well, awesome. I guess before we wrap up this episode, Laurel, where can people reach you or find you or message you or send chocolate to you or whatever?
Ooh, I will definitely take the chocolate. I actually do a little video project with my girlfriend. Currently, we're going by the name WoW at Night on Twitter and on YouTube. You can find us at wowatnight.com. At the moment, we're mostly doing little guides about things we like in WoW. You know, how to find Pepe. That was one of our favorites. And then I've been doing a lot more just class-centric stuff lately. Working on a Blood DK guide as of now. Obviously, I am also doing the Blood DK and Prot Warrior guides on WoWhead. And very happy and proud of those as well. But you can pretty much get in touch with me on Twitter at wowatnight.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for episode 146 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we're just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust.
Woo! Woo!
From people you shouldn't.
Woo! Woo!